And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to look at a very important issue. In fact, we're going to be looking at the largest congregation in the entire world. And we're going to be discovering the truth about the largest church in the world. Now, the words church and congregation, well, they mean two different things. You may not think so, but I think you will after today's program. Now, I've been looking at this new pope from Argentina, Pope Francis, for some months now. And I really didn't want to say much. He did compliment the atheist, said an atheist can go to heaven too without knowing Jesus Christ. Of course, I thought that was absolutely insane. But I sort of kept my tongue until now. And now I must tell you, this man is absolutely a heretic. He is a heretic. And today we're going to be examining the heresies of Pope Francis and his leadership of the world's largest congregation. It's not his church. It's the congregation of the dead. There is a congregation of the dead. Proverbs talks about it. If you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21, we start with verse 2. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now, every person who sins convinces himself that he's really not a big sinner. It's really a small sin, or maybe not even a sin or a travesty at all. He's doing right. It says there, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Even as a person in his own eyes, in his own mind, in his own way of understanding, says or thinks, I'm doing right, God knows what his heart is really saying. You see, what you say to yourself or to others may not be the same as what your own heart tells you. And God ponders the hearts. Now, in chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 16 is another very, very important instruction for us. It states this, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He has no understanding. He knows not God's laws and commandments. He has wandered. He has moved away from understanding. He has been in the congregation of the dead, and he will remain in the congregation of the dead. What is the congregation of the dead? It's all those men and women throughout the world who know not Jesus Christ as Lord. All those throughout the world who know not Jesus Christ as Lord. They are members of the congregation of the dead. You may be a member of this congregation. And I don't care if you're a Baptist or a Catholic, a Methodist, a Buddhist, a Hindu, or a Muslim. If you have wandered out of the way of understanding of the true God, then you remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, that's different than the Roman Catholic Church or any Protestant churches. It's vast. It's huge. In Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, we see that hell is always being enlarged. Did you know that? I mean, the devil is always, I guess he's searching for prime real estate to build his kingdom of hell. Because there are always evil men in the congregation of the dead. They're wandering away from God. They're not willing to do what's just and right and is the commandment of God. And God has his commandments. Jesus actually talked about the doctrines of God. Jesus said the doctrines that he brought are the exact same ones as the doctrine of the Father. Now, many people say today, doctrine is divisive. Of course it's divisive. New Testament, Jesus said he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Of course it's divisive. Doctrine is always divisive, rightly so. We could not exist without doctrine. Doctrine is what tells us what is and what should be and what cannot be. If you're in the congregation of the dead, no doubt you have bad doctrine. You have a whole body of bad doctrine. And I have carried on conversations with many people in the congregation of the dead, and they want to argue and bicker over all kinds of little things and large things. Now, I propose to you that Pope Francis, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, is a member of the Congregation of the Dead. He does not know Jesus. He is not saved. He is not, according to John 3, born again in spirit and in truth. He does not understand the ways of God. His doctrine shows this. And we will look at this evil doctrine. This foul doctrine that if people listen to it, and I'm sure many hundreds of thousands will, millions perhaps, that it will lead them right back to the congregation of the dead where Pope Francis is. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, you'll be angry at me for giving this message today. You'll say, well, Tex, who are you to say? What makes you so all smart? Why are you all wise and all knowing? Why are you any better than the Pope? Now, I always face these questions, and they're just stupid questions. I follow God's commandments. It's as simple as that. I have the Bible. That's what makes me no more than a member of the congregation of the dead. I'm the congregation of Jesus Christ. I have the Bible. Of course I make mistakes. Of course, sometimes I sin and need forgiveness. But in terms of his doctrine, I am faithful. I am true. And I shall remain a member of the congregation of Jesus Christ forever and ever. And anyone who comes up against this body of doctrine is my enemy. And I'm not going to quibble to you. I don't care how many PhDs he has, and I'll be glad to put my education up against anybody's, but my formal education has not given me one bit of recognition in heaven. Let me tell you that. No, no, no. I am not a member of Jesus Christ Church because of my big brain, perhaps in spite of my little brain. Maybe you know more than I do about the Bible, about faith. Good for you. I recognize that. But I know enough. I know what the Bible says about a lot of things, and I'm going to tell you about them today. And there's no doubt at all that this Pope is an evil son of the devil. There's no doubt about that. Now, I don't want to quibble with you. If you don't like what I'm going to say, then turn it to another radio station. I mean, flip it right now. I'm here to tell you the truth. You might as well listen so you can curse me and you can go tell all your friends and your family and your church members and your priest this Saturday or Sunday when you go what a horrible and evil person Tex Mars is. Now, frankly, it would be better for me in this ministry if I told you what a great and wonderful, loving, kind man Pope Francis is. I mean, I get all kinds of letters from Catholics, and it seems like they all criticize the Catholic Church, but they praise the Pope. Well, I'm not going to praise anything, including the Catholic Church, and especially not the man who's the leader of it. I want you to understand, he, unless he repents, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, we're going to go over the Bible, and I'm going to show you where this man has tripped up. Not over some little bitty piece of doctrine somewhere. I know of many people who disagree with me on points of doctrine. And, it, you know, I'll argue with them back and forth, and, you know, they'll quibble with me back and forth. But when you come to the big points, we don't have any disagreement. Now, again, it's not a matter of Tex Mars versus Pope Francis. I mean, he's got around a billion people on his side, doesn't he? Formal members of the Catholic Church. I don't have anywhere near that memory, that number, let me tell you. But I don't care what his numbers are. Jesus only had 12, and one was a devil, and the other 11 betrayed him. But he came out pretty good, didn't he? You may say Tex Mars is a no good, evil man, a devil. That's what they call Jesus. They call him a son of the devil. They call him all kinds of names. They said, you do your miracles with the power of the devil. Didn't stop Jesus. It won't stop me. But I want you to know what this Pope is. I don't want you to get caught up in this doctrine. I want you to have the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the pure doctrine. Know what it is. Understand it. Then you'll see how this Pope has already misled the whole world. He's already led people to perdition that the two previous popes, Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict, didn't even dare to lead them. And yet the whole world is acclaiming this man as a great one. I have not yet read anywhere in the world, any magazine by anybody, Buddhist, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, that have a bit of criticism for this guy. Why should I jump on him then? Because he's a heretic. It's as simple as that, really. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, how does this man, why is he a member of the congregation of the dead? Well, chapter 2 of 2 Peter is important. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that's privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The truth I'm going to tell you today will be evil spoken of. No doubt about it. It already is. There are those who say I'm narrow-minded. I don't have the big picture. I'm too stuck in the Bible. I have these rigid ideologies. Okay, good. Doesn't bother me any. I admit it. I'm at fault, boy. All right. So there are false teachers. And they're privately, that means they don't go to the Bible. This is their private interpretations, their private statements. They privately bring in damnable heresies. He can't show it show you what's in the Bible, because he hadn't got it. He says, I don't need the Bible. I'm the Pope of Rome. I'm the vicar. Whatever I say is infallible. Well, that's what the devil says. Whatever he says goes. Well, it doesn't go. It better line up with the New Testament. If it doesn't, it's heresy. All right. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of what the Bible says. And these things I've spoken over and over about. But the Pope says they're wrong. The Pope goes a different way. He's wondering in his own imagination. Is he right or is God's word correct? You make up your mind for yourself. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, it says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Who is the Antichrist? Whoever denies the Father and the Son. How many religious Jews deny the Father and the Son? Every one of them. Now, the Pope has said that Judaism is the quote-unquote holy root of Christianity. How can something that denies Jesus Christ be the holy root of Christianity? It's the holy root of Satanism. That's what it is. And Jesus told the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, your father is the devil. Now, do we stick with Jesus or do we believe in the Pope? Now, the Pope seems so much more holy and so wonderful and loving to say that Judaism is the holy root of Christianity. But that's a heresy. That's a lie. He directly attempts to refute what Jesus Christ said. Now, I want to read to you. This is a letter published on the front page of La Repubblica newspaper in Rome. It's based on the editorials written by a Italian named Scalfari, who had directly addressed the pontiff, the Pope, on issues of faith and religion. Now, Francis' reply is very important. He responded to Scalfari's query about, quote, what we should say to our Jewish brothers about the promise made to them by God. Has it all come to nothing? That's what Scalfari asked him. What we should say to our Jewish brothers about the promise made to them by God. Has it all come to nothing? Who are our Jewish brothers? We don't have any. I don't have any Jewish brothers. They're all sons of hell. They're sons of the congregation of the dead. They have not Jesus. They don't believe Jesus. They don't believe anything that Jesus said. They believe he's a blasphemer. They say Jesus' mother was a whore. That's in their holy book, the Talmud. What promise made to them by God? God made a promise to them. He did. If you're faithful to me, if you obey my commandments, then I will exalt you. If not, well, you're going to be just like every other man. You're going to go straight to hell. That's the promise made by God. That's the only promise I can read in the Old and New Testaments. And so Scalfari asked Francis, has it all come to nothing? And here's what Pope said, the Pope, Pope Francis. He says, this is a question that challenges us radically as Christians. However, he said, listen to this, with the help of God, quote, we have rediscovered that the Jewish people are still for us the holy root from which Jesus germinated. Now get that. We have rediscovered, who rediscovered it? Who's we? That the Jewish people are still for us the holy root from which Jesus germinated. My friends, there is a tree of life and they have been cut out of it. I mean, God allegorically, took a knife and cut them out. But they can be grafted back in if they repent, if they believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how they can be grafted back in. But they are not the holy root. They have been cut off. That's what the Bible says. They have been cut off. But he says we've rediscovered them as the holy root from which Jesus germinated. Jesus did not germinate from Judaism. Judo-Christianity is an oxymoron. You can't mix Judaism and Christianity. Judaism has as its holy book the Talmud. We have the New Testament and the Old Testament. Now, the Pope said that he has very close ties with Jews in his own native Argentina. But I have often in prayer, says the Pope, also questioned God, especially when my mind went to the memory of the terrible experience of the Holocaust. He questioned God when his mind went to the memory of the Holocaust. He says, what I can say to you with the Apostle Paul is that God's fidelity to the close covenant with Israel never failed. First of all, we have this heresy. God's fidelity to the close covenant with Israel never failed. That's a heresy because he doesn't explain that they failed it, not God. The Mosaic covenant failed because they went off the reservation, so to speak. The Jews began to preach and teach and believe in the traditions, the teachings of men, their rabbis, rather than those of God. The Pope says, through the terrible trials of these centuries, the Jews have kept their faith in God. Through the terrible trials of these centuries, the Jews have kept their faith in God, and for this we shall never be sufficiently grateful to them. Why, we're so grateful to them. They've kept their faith in God all these centuries. Is that right? Have the Jews kept their faith? First century AD, second century, third century, fourth century, fifth century, on up to the 19th century, 20th century, 21st century. Have they kept their faith to God? Should we be grateful to them for doing so? Francis noted, Jews serve as an example for Christians. They're our example. Precisely, he says, by persevering in the faith of the God of the covenant. What covenant? He's talking about the Mosaic covenant. They called all, also us Christians, to the fact that we are always waiting as pilgrims for the Lord's return. To be a good Christian, said Francis, it is necessary to understand Jewish history and traditions. Really? Let's talk about that Jewish history and traditions. For 2,000 years, they've called Jesus a blasphemer. For 2,000 years, the Jews have witnessed that Jesus Christ is not Lord and Savior. He is a blasphemer. He is a magician. He is a sorcerer. He is now in hell, in a vat of hot semen. Some versions of the Talmud, they say, is in hot excrement. Burning. Is that persevering in the faith? For over 2,000 years, they believed that Jesus is a blasphemer, and they've hated him, and they've persecuted Christians in every continent on earth. Is that persevering in the faith? Are you out of your mind, Pope Francis? Are you just another silly man? 1 John 2, verse 23 says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Have you ever read that, Pope Francis? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. That's John. Who are you to say that John is a liar, that John is wrong, that John is in error? It's you that's in error, Pope. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, we see this. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they of God or of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Verse 13 says, Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do you believe that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? Do you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If so, then God dwells in you. Praise the Lord. But what if you do not? What if you're all of these 18 million Jews that are in the world that the Pope says are the holy root of Christianity? Yeah. Who the Pope says, isn't it wonderful? They have given us an example. They have persevered in the faith. What faith? Of hell? Of Satan? Of course that's the faith he's talking about. Have the Jews testified that the Father sent the Son to be Savior of the world? No. Have the Jews confessed that Jesus is the Son of God? No. Then God does not dwell in them, nor do they dwell in God. It's plain as day, Pope Francis. Of course, I don't know why I should be calling the guy Pope in the first place. That means Father, doesn't it? And Jesus said, call no man Father. And don't call anybody Rabbi, for that matter. That tells you about two branches of the Congregation of the Dead, doesn't it? The Judaic and the Catholic. Both of them are dead. And both of them use names like Father and Rabbi. Have you tested the spirits to see whether they are of God? Who then is a false prophet who's gone out in the world? His name, Pope Francis. And he says that we must understand this Jewish history and traditions. You don't understand the Jewish history and traditions. You don't know what the Jewish Talmud says. And if you do, you are really absolutely a son of hell, Pope. And I say Pope very scathingly. Now, the second epistle of John, verse 7 says, For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He is a deceiver. Pope Francis, you are a deceiver and you're an antichrist. How about that? Does Textmore say this? No, the Apostle John said it. And when we return in just a minute, I'm going to give you more examples of the heresies of this man who has the audacity to call himself the Pope Francis of Argentina and Rome. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again. I'm Tex Mars. And I want to invite you to purchase from this ministry a great book. A great book my good friend Edward Hendry. Edward Hendry. You know, Edward Hendry was once a Catholic. And then he read the Bible for himself. And boy, it just changed his heart. He became totally committed to Jesus Christ. I've met Ed Hendry and I've met his lovely wife, and I'll tell you something. I'm so impressed. When I met this man, I could tell the Spirit of God was in him. Now, he's written a great book about solving the mystery of Babylon the Great. It's a huge book. It's like an encyclopedia. So we ask, please, $25 for it and $5 shipping and handling. It's worth a lot more than that. But you'll find in this book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great, who the really is the Catholic Church. Who really is the Catholic Church? He will tell you who the popes are. And it's the first ever book that brings together the Roman Catholic Church with the false religion of Judaism. Now, I was amazed when I got this book because I had asked God to give me the time in my life. I said, Lord, let me write a book somewhat like this. You know, I was just asking God. I wanted to expose this thing, and God called Edward Hendry. Now, Edward Hendry is an attorney. He went to Notre Dame University, very prestigious, and when he graduated from Notre Dame, he went on to Loyola Law School, a Jesuit law school. But then he came to know Jesus, and now he's written this incredible book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. I want to send you this book, please. Now, much of what I'm telling you is in this book, and much, much more. Ed Hendry says that the Judaic religion, the rabbis, actually conquered the Catholic Church. It is not just a Catholic Church, it is the Judaic Church. They have put together Judeo-Christianity. And what an abomination it is, says Mr. Hendry. Please, get this book. Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great by Edward Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. A total of $30, we'll send it right out to you. Please phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go to our website, of course, powerofprophecy.com, and order this book using your charge card. Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. An incredible book. You're not going to find it in any Christian bookstores today because they've already, you know, they've accepted the Catholic Church. They've even accepted Judaism in many of the Christian bookstores. But you'll get the truth by ordering from us this great book. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Babylon the Great being both the Jews and the Catholic Church. They have come together in these last days. What could be more wicked? The Jews who crucified Jesus coming together and becoming one with the Roman Catholic Church. They are together, Mystery Babylon the Great. Now here's the problem. The Judaic Church, the Jews, do not believe in Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, then you don't believe in any teaching in the New Testament. So how can the Pope thank them for their faith, for their perseverance in their faith? He can't, but he does. Now, let me read to you from 1 John chapter 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There we go. Now, verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? See, the Bible repeats itself. It's a great built-in dictionary in the King James Bible. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you have overcome the world. You're an overcomer. But if you don't believe that, you're not an overcomer. The world has overcome you, and Satan is your power. He's your dominator. He's your Lord. Who is he that overcometh the world? It's simple. It says here, he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Who is the Word? Jesus Christ. The Father and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You can't leave that out. The Jews say, no, Jesus isn't part of that. I'm not going to accept that. That's the witness of God. The witness of God is that there are three, and they are one. But the Jews say Jesus is a blasphemer. Jesus is a magician. Jesus was a liar. And the Pope says they're our elder brothers. That's even in the Catholic Catechism. Friends, our elder brothers, and they blaspheme our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you kidding me, Mr. Francis? Oh, you must be kidding me. Can't be serious. You must be a deceiver. Because you confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You're a deceiver and an antichrist. Now verse 9 says, whosoever transgresseth, this is the second epistle of John, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Do you understand that, friends? If you don't abide in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, then you don't know God. You're not of God. The person who has God has Christ Jesus and knows his doctrine. And he has both the Father and the Son. I mean, I'm reading all these verses to you from the Bible. Do you doubt them? Do you refute them? Do you say they're not true? Or do you go along with this heretic named Francis who lies about what God said? He says that what he tells you privately is greater than what God teaches in his Bible. It's not. If this Francis were to come to your house, you're not even to let him in. Don't wish him Godspeed. Don't say, God bless you, your holiness. He's going to hell, and this man will drag you down with him. You better get rid of him. You better cut your ties. You say you're a Catholic. Well, I don't believe in that, but the Catholic Church has been around. It's the only true church. And shut up. Now, I was just at a conference, and I didn't invite the guy, but he was invited to come to the conference and speak. He was one of these traditional Catholic priests. He was a bishop in the traditional Catholic Church. And I wanted to hear what the guy said, and I met him, talked with him, shook his hand, and then I sat down and I listened to him. And he spoke for about 50 minutes, and he said absolutely nothing. I'm talking about Bishop Williamson is his name. But he didn't say anything. He ended his talk by inviting everybody to the one holy church. How do they join the one holy church? Do they go down and join the Catholic church? No, you can't do that. The Catholic church today is evil, he said. And the Pope is evil. And you can't go down and join at your local church, and you can't go to see the local priest because he's evil too. So Bishop Williamson has separated himself from the Catholic Church of today. He says, I'm of the old Catholic Church before Vatican II, before Pope John back in 1963. I'm of the old Catholic Church. No. Then he's a Protestant, isn't he? He's protesting the Catholic Church and the Catholic Pope. That's all I could figure out from the guy. Good for him. I wish him well at that. Now, let's talk some more about what Pope Francis, I don't like to call the guy that. Now, first of all, in La Repubblica newspaper, Mr. Eugenio Scalfari interviewed the Pope. And Pope Francis wrote back to him and said, you ask me if the God of the Christians forgive those who don't believe and who do not seek the faith. His answer, God's mercy has no limits if you go to him with a sincere and contrite heart. The issue for those who do not believe in God is to obey their conscience. Sin, even for those who have no faith, exists when people disobey their conscience. Now, this is all gobbledygook. What does it mean? You see, if you're a Christian, then God has written his commandments in your heart. You know what is sin. And you know what is not sin. How do you know? The Holy Ghost within you, the Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory is within you. When I sin, when Tex Mar sins, I know it. I feel guilty about it. The Holy Spirit convicts me. But he says sin, for those who have no faith, exists when people disobey their conscience. What is the conscience? People have all kind of consciences. Joseph Stalin had a conscience. He murdered tens of millions of Russian citizens. He thought he was doing the right thing. That was his understanding. I doubt if he had a conscience. He didn't disobey his conscience. He obeyed it. He murdered people. Was that sin for him? He had no faith, no conscience. Of course it was sin. But he can't go to God and say, well, I didn't disobey my conscience, ha, ha, ha. I carried it out. Sure, he carried out his conscience. He was a murderer, just like Satan was. The issue for those who do not believe in God is to obey their conscience. That's the exact words of Francis. How, if you do not believe in God, if you have no faith, how can you obey your conscience? Who's in there? Who's in your heart speaking to you? Think of the most evil person you've ever heard of. I don't know. It could be Charles Manson. It could be Hitler. It could be Stalin or Lenin or, you know, Attila the Hun. Are you telling me that he, if he obeys his conscience, is saved? Is going to heaven? Knows God? He had no conscience. Psychopaths have no conscience. Friends, that has been studied. That is a fact. Psychopaths have no empathy, no understanding, no sympathy, no conscience. He basically says that atheists can go to heaven if they obey their conscience. No, they can't. If you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord, then you don't have the Father, then you're going straight to hell. obey your own conscience, that will get you hell. Let me tell you something. Don't obey your own conscience. Obey the Holy Spirit if you have the Holy Spirit. If not, get on your knees and ask God to come into you. This is so gobbledygook, I can't believe it. Now, this Francis has also called Christianity, fundamentalist Christianity, an illness. Or right-wing Christianity. He calls it ideological Christianity. He's calling right-wing fundamentalist Christianity, I guess that's all you can say about it, an illness. It's an illness. He said he does not believe in ideological purity in religion. He is particularly critical of, well, those who don't emphasize the poor and the sick. That's wonderful that Francis emphasizes the poor and the sick. Now, I've been to St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, and I don't believe it's a house for the poor. Do you? This man has all these servants and all this garb and costume and all these rituals, and he has this one of the largest church buildings in the world, but he talks about the poor and the needy. Now, he criticizes those who are anti-gay and anti-abortion. He calls them ideological extremists. Well, then I suppose all the authors of the Bible, inspired by Jesus Christ our Lord, are dangerous. Because the Pope says, Pope Francis says, ideological extremism is dangerous. It's dangerous to Christianity, dangerous to the world. And it's a sickness. Now, I'm going to read to you exactly what the Pope Francis said. In ideologies, there is not Jesus. Really? And I've just read you the doctrines. Does he think that doctrines are different than ideologies? I don't think so. But it's what he says. He says, in ideologies, there is not Jesus. And ideologies are rigid always. Of every sign, rigid. And when a Christian becomes a disciple of the ideology, he has lost the faith. For he is no longer a disciple of Jesus. He is a disciple of this attitude of thought. For this reason, Jesus said to them, "You have taken away the key of knowledge." The knowledge of Jesus is transformed into an ideological and also moralistic knowledge, because these close the door with many requirements. The faith becomes ideology, and ideology frightens. Ideology chases away people, distances. It distances the people and distances the church from the people. But it is a serious illness, this of ideological Christians. It is an illness. Wow. He says conservative Christians are focusing so much on abortion, so much on same-sex marriage, that they're not Christians anymore. They're ideologists. He denounces hatred of gay people. He thinks the war against abortion and birth control has gone too far. He says ideological fanatics have damaged religion. They have abandoned the true teachings of Jesus. To save little babies, millions of little babies, that, Francis, is not damaging the Church of Jesus Christ. To stand up for human life is precious. And the fact that you don't believe in standing up for it tells me you're a moral coward. Now, all the world's magazines, all the world's newspapers will love you. And I'm sure Planned Parenthood will have nice things to say about you. And all of these doctors out there that are murdering little babies to abortion will praise your name. But Jesus won't. Jesus won't. Jesus will praise those who care about the little babies, who care about the human beings, who are against abortion, who say that living as a gay person is not right. He said, the Pope said, who am I to judge gay people? Well, who are you to judge murderers and liars and thieves and abortionists? Who are you? Well, obviously, you know, you're right. This guy's right. He's not a Christian. He's not a born-again Christian. He has no right to judge. Is that correct? Is that what he's saying? Who am I to judge homosexuals who live together as man and wife? Who am I to judge, says the Pope? So this guy who claims that he is the vicar, he is the pastor for a billion Christians, when Christians come up to ask him, when they say, Your Holiness, I'm a homosexual living with another man. Is that what God wants for my life? The Pope says, who am I to judge you? You're the leader, the bishop of the entire church, supposedly. That's who you are. Now, I know you're not. I know you're a heretic. But you could at least pretend and masquerade around a little bit, you know? Can you believe that? Who am I to judge? Jesus answered that question. He said, don't cast your pearl before swine because they'll turn around and rend you. Well, Francis is not going to cast anything before swine. He accepts the swine. He accepts abortion. He accepts homosexuality. Oh, he really doesn't, does he? No, no, because he says he has a way out. Oh, I never condemn it, and I never condone it. That makes it okay. He doesn't condemn, but he doesn't condone. He just doesn't judge. Now, I know there are those out there who say, judge not lest ye be judged. That's in Matthew 7, and that's where Jesus talked about being rent by the pigs. How do you know who the pigs are? The Bible tells us to exercise righteous judgment. Paul says to one church, he says, how is it that you don't judge a case of incest? Well, I've judged a case and I'm not even there with you. He sent him a letter long distance. I've judged the case and I'm not even there with you. Paul was saying, how dare you not be a judge of the things that God has given you? God gave them purity. He gave them love. He gave them an understanding. And then for the Pope to say, I don't have any understanding on that issue. I don't judge them. I don't know one thing about it. You're an idiot, Francis, if you don't know anything about homosexuality. Maybe you are one. But after all, it seems like over half of all the priests in the world are homosexuals. No wonder he can't judge. He doesn't want to hurt their feelings. Now, he has done one thing that a lot of Catholics seem to like. He has dedicated the world to Mary. Now, I don't know why Catholics get into this stuff, but there are all these millions of Catholics thousands write to me. Turks, you've got to help us dedicate the world to Mary. Hey, friend, I'm for Jesus Christ. I know Mary exists. I know Mary is in heaven. But when his disciples came to him and says, here's your mother Mary and your brothers and sisters, he said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? All those who believe in my commandments, that's my family. That's my mother. That's my brothers. That's my sisters. Why do we have to take the time to dedicate the world to Mary? He did that, this Francis. Now, he had the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal to bring the original statue of Our Lady of Fatima to the Vatican for the celebration. It was held on October 13 and 14. Excuse me, October 12th and 13th. And the statue was taken to Rome to the Shrine of Divine Love. And there, the Diocese of Rome had an all-night vigil. The Pope said a rosary and a mass. And in a press statement, the directors of the Fatima Shrine said that Pope Francis had consecrated the world to Mary. Now, what does it mean to consecrate? It means to make holy. It means basically to give the world. Now, think about that. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. But the Pope says, I give you the world, Mary. Really? The Pope gave Mary the world that Jesus refused. Think about that. Something's weird on that, isn't it? My goodness. The world's been consecrated to her. The world that Jesus Christ did not want. Satan brought him up to a pinnacle and said, look and see all the kingdoms of the world. Worship me and these will be yours. And Jesus says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I don't think Mary's listening. I don't think Mary cares about the world. The Bible says, love not the world nor the things in the world. Friends, when you think you got the world, the world's got you. Let me say it again. When you think you own the world has you in its grasp. That's why the governor of Rome, Pilate, immediately went out and told the Jews and the rabbis, I find no fault in this man. And they cried out even more, crucify him. Now the Jews are having a field day. They love Francis. They love Benedict. They love Pope John Paul II. They love the new Catholic catechism. I have a copy of it. And in it, the Pope says that if you follow the light that's given you, then you're going to be okay. You're going to be saved. Maybe the light of Buddha, maybe the light of Krishna, could be the light of, well, the Jews who believe in God but reject Jesus. If you follow that light, then you're going to be saved. That's what their catechism says, but it's a liar. It's a lying book. The popes have invited a series of rabbis to the Vatican. One of them is Rav Steinsaltz. Steinsaltz has been called one of the greatest Talmudic scholars of all time. He's a rabbi. And he was invited to the World Symposium of Catholic Cardinals and Jewish Leaders in 2005. He gave a lecture to all the bishops and the heads of the Catholic Church there on science and faith. Now, Steinsaltz, this top rabbi, one of the greatest rabbis in the world, the Jews tell me, is the author of one of the classic works of the sorcery book, Kabbalah. It's entitled The 13 Petaled Rose. He's published 60 books, hundreds of articles, and he's a devil. Yes, Rabbi Steinsaltz in his Kabbalah is a devil. But he's in tight with Benedict. And now he's in tight with Francis. And I have no doubt that like many centuries before, when the popes of Rome studied the Kabbalah and believed in it, and twisted and tried to reshape the Word of God, this is being done today. These are the heresies of Pope Francis. And it proves his leadership of the Congregation of the Dead. I'll take the Bible. I'll take the New Testament. I'll take Jesus Christ. This is Tex Mars. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.